watching and or listening to OccupySkidRow.us, a weekly VeteransNewsNet.us feature presented every Tuesday evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time, live at SkidRowStudios.com. We invite you to join our discussion now. Call us at 1-800-893-9562 or text us at 310-266-9465. And now, here's your host, Chaplain Willis Buddy Clark Jr.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Occupy Skid Row. This is Jeff Norman filling in tonight. The occupation continues, but our fearless leader isn't here because he underwent root canal surgery this morning, and we certainly wish him all the best, and we are going to carry on without him. And our guests tonight are about to take a trip to Korea with Buddy. Presumably he will have healed by then. You guys are leaving in mid-September, right?
Yes.
About around the 15th, is it?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, he'll be in tip-top shape by then. Buddy is irrepressible. I'm referring to the WARP Summit. WARP is an acronym that stands for World Alliance Religions. Now, World Alliance of Religions, and then the P is for peace. Because right. If you don't put the P there, it's war, and that's completely the wrong thing. There's so many names, I'm trying to figure out the best way to say it. But anyway, just so folks have a general sense of what I'm talking about, the WARP Summit 2014 will be held September 19th through 21st in Seoul, South Korea, and will be hosted by Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light.
Right.
And that's HWPL.
Yes.
I think I may need to talk to you about marketing. If anybody can remember that, there must be a memory expert. But you're a great organization, so you can call yourself whatever you want. And you're doing that in conjunction with the Institute for Cultural Diplomacy. And this summit is hosted without aid from any governmental source. It's a demonstration of the capability of private, not-for-profit, and non-governmental organizations to play major roles in the creation of peace for our world.
Yes.
And that's kind of a tall order. So, Greg Bernard, you are the LA coordinator.
Yeah, correct.
And Stephen Acosta, you are the public relations and media liaison, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And that's Stephen with a PH.
With a PH.
Not with a V. Do not pronounce it with a V, whatever you do.
It's okay folks. Either way.
Okay. So, thanks for joining us. We just screened what I think is a relatively new video your organization made. Right. And I like the angle quite a bit, you know, because, you know, a lot of people are anti-religion. You know, this is just sort of an age-old debate that always goes on. Well, you know, look at all the trouble caused by religions. Right. And people who are religious don't normally own that, so to speak. But you folks are. In fact, you're saying, yeah, this is a problem, but we're going to address it. And since you know, since you are religious and since you do recognize this, you're sort of uniquely positioned to tackle the problem in that way. So I think the statistic was 90% of wars are over religious disputes. Is that right?
Yes, that's pretty true.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So that's a tall order. That is a PR problem. So you're the PR guy. How do you get over a PR problem like that?
Just to tell you more about HWPL. First of all, we're not really a religious organization, but we do acknowledge that a lot of conflicts, you know, around the world or even in the past have been caused by religious, you know, just differences. But we do also recognize that, you know, the world's pretty much comprised of 80% religious. So just considering the facts, you know, if we can gather all these religions and just really... because all religions do acknowledge peace, you know, even in their scriptures. And that's why we want to highlight too in the summit that even, you know, different religions like Islam, you know, Catholic and Christians, you know, Jews, even when they greet each other, they always say, you know, peace to you.
Right.
Right.
Shalom.
Yeah.
Shalom, salam.
Yeah.
the whole shmageggy, yeah.
Right.
Sounds great.
So the fascinating part about it is actually... a lot of these, you know, religious leaders that we've invited, they're all for peace. So it's just sometimes they, you know, people don't really focus more on the positive aspect of these religions. NDC, you know, the religious extremists that are out there who are, you know, causing different conflicts. But a lot of really high officials in their religions actually do desire peace. And that's why this summit is all about, you know, promoting that aspect.
Right. So you said you're not a religious organization. Now, do you just mean that you don't promote any one particular religion, or you don't foster, you don't cater to people who are religious in general? Because this conference is the World Alliance of Religions.
Right, right.
And you are part of that alliance, right?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Again, we don't say that, you know, one religion is better than the other, but to say that, you know, we're trying to create a community where our religions can actually work together and create an alliance.
Right. Like here in the Los Angeles area, there's a great organization called ICUJP. Are you familiar with them? These names are so hard to remember. It's the Interfaith Communities United for Justice and Peace. That's what it's called.
Right.
Yeah. So it sounds like you might have a similar mission. But let's talk about this very long name that you have. Heavenly Culture, World Peace, Restoration of Light. What does all that mean?
I'm sure it sounds better in the original language, right?
Oh, is that what it's a translation from what?
I'm sure it sounds better in Korean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
But our the reason for our name, Heavenly Culture, is because it's not to say, you know, in terms of religion, but in the sense that, you know, the heavens, they give us air, they give us light, they give us life without cost, in the same way we say peace should be given for free to all mankind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that everyone can agree with.
Okay. So I'll stop making fun of the name. I can tell you're starting to get a little angry, and I don't want you to throw a tantrum, because this is expensive equipment. So what is the mission of the organization apart from this particular summit? And then we'll talk about the summit.
Well, our main mission is just to basically have an open forum for religions to come together, because even it seems to be taking place at the exact best time too, because there's what's happening in Gaza, there's even what's happening over in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the conflicts that are happening at this very moment are conflicts that are in some way, shape, or form because of religious differences, because one person has these basically ideologies of their own that they're fighting for, someone else has opposing ideologies. But this is really a time where we can come together and say, how can we have one heart, one thought, and ideology where we can work together now for the creation of a peaceful world?
Right. So talk is cheap. Tell me what you've accomplished in the past.
Okay.
You mentioned it on the phone when we talked.
Oh, yes. So one of the large things that we did do only recently was, there was a large conflict that took place for the past 40 years on the island of Mindanao, which is in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that Stephen knows a little bit more.
I was actually there when it took place. So again, in the Mindanao, that region in the southern part of the Philippines, there's been an ongoing conflict between the Muslims and also Catholic Christians. So our organization came there, and we did some sort of interfaith forum where actually the leader or the representative for the Islamic community showed up, and also the archbishop for that region showed up, and both of them agreed and acknowledged the fact that, you know, both of them being leaders, they do desire peace. So being leaders, you know, being people who actually being looked up to by their followers, they see that and they get really inspired. So that it resulted to even the youth of that region in General Santos, where they actually did a peace walk. And it created a really positive vibe in that region where, because even for us Filipinos, when you say Mindanao, the first thing that they associate that word with is, you know, war. You know, there's going to be like murders and atrocities that's been happening down there for so long. So to create that really positive image now is something that like created such a stir, even in the press and even in the government in the Philippines. So even after that, actually, it started in January, and somehow it propelled to a lot of peace walks that actually now started happening in other parts of the world. We had one in Latin America's. Again, even in Latin America, they too have different conflicts that, you know, they struggle with down there.
And so was there a positive outcome afterwards?
Yes, yeah. Actually, a lot of organizations now start partnering up with us. And they too, they want to do some work of anything that has a peace-related kind of work. So even if it's for volunteerism, you know, helping youth organizations and different women's organizations, because even HWPL has two subgroups. One is, it's called IPYG, which stands for International Peace Youth Group, where that organization deals with helping different youth organizations and helping them, you know, thrive in their certain communities. And in terms of financially also serving in that community. The other part, subgroup, is called IWPG, which stands for International Women's Peace Group. So them two are created specifically for women's rights, but also it's because, you know, in times of war, mostly the people who get sent out to fight those wars are young people. And it's the mothers and, you know, they're the ones who actually get affected a lot by when they see their kids, you know, either hurt or they see their kids, you know, die because of these wars. So we created that subgroup to really now foster for these women who have been probably victimized in, you know, indirectly because of war.
So you're saying we. Can you give me some idea of how big this organization is and how many chapters there are?
For IPYG, there's about over 100 different youth groups that have partnered with us in over 70 countries around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And for IWPG, I don't know the exact number, but there's been about, I'd say 50, about plus 50 women's group have partnered with us and are willing to actually now show support to. By right now, we've done a lot of peace walks, so the peace walks, our intention behind it is to really show you know, the community that if we come together as one and you know, create such a stair where the world can really recognize that, you know, peace can truly happen if we come together, you know, with this positive attitude. And truly knowing that, you know, if war is being fought, you know, by youth, but the youth now decide to do a peace walk rather than, you know, taking up arms, you know, that's such a huge statement to show to the world.
Right. Well, I've done a fair amount of work with peace organizations over the years, and one thing I've noticed is that peace rhetoric is sometimes very alienating. A lot of the public feels that it's, you know, you're just not being realistic. Let me ask two questions about that. One is, do you get the same kind of attitude in other parts of the world? And the other is, do you counter that in any particular way as a publicist or just as a member of the organization?
It's funny you ask the question because even here, anything that's, you know, peace related, even media don't cover those kind of things because it's too kind of positive and too cheesy sometimes. It's too naive for some of them.
Yeah. Well, if you think about what makes for an interesting story in general, mm-hmm. it's conflict.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't have to be war or violence,
right.
but conflict. Any good story
right.
has some sort of a conflict.
Yeah. Exactly.
So you do have quite a challenge there.
Right, we do.
It's not only that. It's that people, you know, have very strong feelings about foreign policy, the need for a strong defense, so
right.
forth and so on. So what do you do about that?
We try to stray away from those kind of topics, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And we just really want to focus more on creating a positive mindset and attitude to really, I guess, help, you know, even youth to really give them an outlet where they can actually participate in this kind of peaceful demonstration, which is not really big these days, but I know back in the 60s and even the 70s, it was so huge that created a counterculture. So in a way, we're trying to focus more on creating that, you know, that mindset and that, you know, an outlet for them. And we do recognize that, you know, there's like other things that we have to consider. But for us anyway, as a group, since we're international, there's like different policies that you have to consider in, you know, different parts of the world. That's why we've even invited different political leaders too.
Well, you know, I think one of the ways, I get that you don't want to make too big a deal of the peace thing and the, you know, actually getting into arguments about it. But I think one way to counter without doing it overtly is to work with veterans, because they carry, right, they have a certain gravitas, a certain credibility.
Right.
And, you know, people aren't going to say they're too wimpy, you know, right, which is really what people essentially are saying when they say, oh, you're singing Kumbaya and, you know, you don't, yeah, know what the real world is about. Right. That's kind of what they're saying, right?
Right?
And it's, you don't say that to a veteran. Veterans do know what war is about,
exactly,
and they're not wimpy. Right. And so Buddy Clark, who's the host of this show, is going, mm-hmm, to be attending this, right, peace summit as part of a new initiative we've started. And we is the organization I work with is called the Veterans Project. And we have started a project in partnership with Peace Now, and,
right,
we're calling it Operation Buddy. And,
right,
what it is using veterans to go out on peacekeeping missions,
right,
perhaps in dangerous places, but, you know, using the, you know, the I guess credibility is the word I'm looking for, that goes along with being a veteran.
Right.
And so Buddy is going to be going over there, and he's going to be making, trying to recruit veterans who are,
right,
over there and other parts of the world,
mm-hmm,
to join for
them.
Yeah. We're working on trying to solve veteran homelessness here now.
Right.
So we're kicking around a few ideas about how to join forces. One idea we had was to invite a Korean War veteran who lives in Korea now to come, okay, and live in one of these housing projects here, should somebody be interested in relocating here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I was talking to Greg about this on the phone, and you were telling me about the founder of your organization is a veteran, and there is a certain connection there already, yeah?
Yeah, he is in fact a veteran. He was a Korean War veteran, and he was actually in the Special Forces during the war. And I think he is around the same age as Buddy, too, which I won't...
What, 130?
Yeah, something like that.
Just Dan and yogurt commercials.
Exactly. So he of course, is a great example of someone who, because he has seen war firsthand, which most of our generation has not. And because of that, he has that heart for peace to actually be accomplished in this world. And we see veterans, yes, they're a very important part then of that, because they're the ones who have firsthand experienced war. They know the horrors of war just as our founder did. And because of that, they are really able to convey that to the next generation. So,
and they're not, some of them, mm-hmm, I think, have turned into pacifists, and, mm-hmm, others, they're not necessarily pacifists. They believe that deadly force is necessary sometimes, but they're very circumspect about it, and they understand what the consequences are, and you better be very careful about when and principled about under what circumstances you resort to it. Now, what about your organization? Are you, obviously, you're, you know, quote-unquote anti-war, but do you recognize the need for it sometime, or do you take the position that it's never appropriate?
Well, definitely a country will need to defend itself at times.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the end result will be not to point fingers and look after one's own interests, but really to create a peace between the nations. So even during the Korean War, as we know, the country was split into a north and a south, not too different from East and West Germany. So when those two countries, East and West Germany, were brought together, we saw that, yes, it was a little bit difficult because they had different economic things going on, a little bit different of a society too, but they were eventually able to reincorporate and become one nation again. And that's something that we see happening to Korea in the future and even around the world in different conflicts and different countries where the same thing is happening.
Well, let's talk about the conflicts going on now. I know that one of the ways, you know, I work in the nonprofit field, mm-hmm, still, and one of the ways I prioritize what to focus on is not only what is the biggest problem, but what seems doable.
Mm-hmm.
And that is often based on, well, what do other people want to do? Who are our partners out there that want to focus on this or that? It doesn't mean that one problem is more important than another. It's just, well, here's an opportunity to do something. And even though there's another problem that also needs attention, I can't help it if there aren't other people interested in it, you know? So yeah. I don't know if you guys kind of prioritize that way too, as opposed to, well, we're just going to figure out what's the biggest problem and that's it. Now, what's in the news, of course, the most is the conflict between Palestinians and Israelis. Now, in your line of work, there may be something that's not getting as much attention but is big on your radar. So can you say a little bit about how you prioritize and to what extent you might be focusing on that particular conflict versus others?
Okay, mainly in the Gaza conflict or just different conflicts that are going on?
Well, my question is, are you focusing on that? What else might you be focusing on?
Also, there will actually be speakers coming from that area who will be speaking on how they think that things can be done over there. Because as I'm sure you know, even when Kerry and Ban Ki-moon were sent over there, they were able to accomplish quite a bit. But even then, the war didn't come to end. And I believe the casualty rate is, last time I checked a few days ago, around 2,000 on the Palestinians and around 65 on the Israeli side. So it's pretty difficult conflict. So Middle East is something that we are focusing on a lot, especially right now. And we are actually planning on hopefully having a conference in Iraq in the upcoming months.
Okay. And so is part of this summit about figuring out which conflicts to deal with, or is it more that agenda set already and it's more about figuring out strategies, or what?
Right now, actually, we've invited a lot of guests from mostly from Middle East, actually. And it's quite surprisingly amazing. There's some from Gaza, some from Syria, some from Afghanistan and Iraq. But we don't want to focus on just one area, but we want to focus on, you know, in general, a conflict. Because again, in these regions, it does stem out from religious conflicts. So we just want to create a discussion, an interfaith religious forum, where each side can just hear, you know what they want. And most of them do want peace. And it's up to the people attending the summit into how to create now an initiative, hopefully even a legislation that they can pass, you know, that like what Peace Now is doing. Right? You guys are creating a peace department in every government agencies or around the world. We do kind of want that to happen too. We want actually politicians, you know, to acknowledge that, hey, if these, you know, religious figures do want peace, you know, maybe we should, you know, somehow incorporate that in our policymaking. So at the summit, we're actually going to have a panel where these people will just discuss, especially for the youth, people who have, like the young adults who've seen the tragedy, the atrocities that have happened in Middle East. They'll have a chance to just voice out, you know, their experiences. And it's not to judge them in any way, and it's not to create any biased opinions or not to pressure them anyway. It's for us, you know, the whole attendees and even the world to see, you know, what kind of suffering and what kind of anguish that these kids have gone through because of war. And rather than creating more conflict, it's just, you know, to for people now to see and just think, you know, what can we do to really stop this? And that's what we're hoping. And it's not to say that, you know, one problem is greater than the other, but ultimately just to really focus on the very root of the problem is, and these conflicts that have been happening, and especially in the region of Middle East.
Well, we're joined by our favorite photojournalist, Rose Hugh. How are you, my beautiful princess?
Oh, thank you.
Talk about peace. This is, just look at this face. If we just paraded this face around the world, I think we'd have peace by October 15th.
Oh, please.
Oh, stop.
No.
Can you just kind of summarize the format of the summit? Is it, for example, a lot of speeches, or do you have breakout groups and panel discussions?
Right. We have those, and we're also going to have some cultural performances. We're also going to have peace workshops. I can't go into detail exactly what's in it.
Well, what if I hold you hostage? Will you?
I think mainly the first day will be cultural performances and sort of that sort of thing. But the second day, they'll go much more into detail on discussing realistically what we can do in different parts of the world. There'll be different panel discussions on a range of topics. And then after that, I believe the third day will be a peace walk. And we're expecting a very large turnout in the tens of thousands, I think.
I believe we're aiming for 30,000.
30,000?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great. And will you be using the North Korea police forces or will you be relying on the South Korea?
No. Well, South Korea.
All right. Well, as long as Rose is here, maybe we should do another segment. Do you guys have time to stick around a bit more?
Sure.
Okay, well, let's take a break, and then when we return, Rose Hugh will join us, and the conversation will surely take off into unexplored territories at that time.
Oh, boy.
Listening to OccupySkidRow.us, a weekly Veterans News Net.us feature presented every Tuesday evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time, live at SkidRowStudios.com. We invite you to join our discussion now. Call us at 1-800-893-9562 or text us at 310-266-9465. And now, here's your host, Chaplain Willis Buddy Clark Jr.
Not true. Indeed, this is Jeff Norman filling in for Chaplain Clark, who underwent dental surgery this morning. Hopefully he's doing okay and will return next week. And my guests tonight are Stephen Acosta and Greg Bernard from HWPL. And we're joined now by our favorite photojournalist, the lovely Rose Hugh, who also is headed to South Korea. And it doesn't cost any money at all. You just hop on a bus and you're there, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
So right. you're going.
That's why I posted something on GoFundMe.com. Anybody listening, please check out my page. I just created it, told a little bit about the Veterans Project, why we're going, what we're going to be participating in, and please help me earn my airfare. I love photography. It's my passion. Yes. And we got chosen to be a photographer on this team, and I would love to participate and make it a reality.
All right. Well, we can put up a link from the Occupy Skid Row webpage to your GoFundMe.
Yes, that would be awesome. People are on there
If there's an address you know that goes directly to that page, you can give it now. But if not, we'll just link to it.
www.gofundme.com.
Yeah, but then to get to your page, though.
Rose Hugh, R-O-S-E-H-U-G-H. Right. I'm connected on Facebook with that as well. I've posted
definitely it. Helps spread the word.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to go
with
Buddy.
It's really an interesting website. Yeah. I mean, there are people on there from, I mean, from please help me send my little brother to Hawaii, to me being photojournalist.
Everybody needs money for something. I wonder what if they turn down anything. They must have some rules.
I don't know.
But just about anything, I guess, right? So you need some money for your travel expenses.
I did. My goal is $1,200. You know, it is late in the day. I understand that, but I've had a lot of irons in the fire and could not get to this any sooner.
Okay.
So I'm out. I have come this far on nothing more than faith, and it will take me the rest of the way.
Great. Well, hopefully you'll get the funding you need because I'm sure you'll be a big help to Buddy and also Scotty Brewer, who's the founder of Peace Now. Now, we were talking before about a sort of a new angle that just came up recently in connection with Operation Buddy, which is the alliance between Peace Now and the Veterans Project. And it's using veterans as peacekeepers because they carry a particular cachet with their experience. And so they're going to be going on not only this mission, but other ones like it. And Buddy fought in the Korean War, and he wants to document his trip back to visit some of the old haunts.
Of course.
So yes, to have you there with, I mean, you can't really make a documentary all by yourself and be the subject of it. So I'm glad to hear that.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
I really hope it becomes reality because he invited me to attend a ceremony in San Diego at Camp Pendleton, and it was for the Chosen Frozen.
Chosen Frozen.
That's what it was called, and that's the Korean War, the part of the Korean War that he was in. Wow. And war is just such an ugly thing when we've got wonderful minds, beautiful hearts, communication. Why can't it be used? Why does it always have to escalate to war with, you know, everybody as, like right now, we want our boys home. And we do. We don't want war. And I agree with those words, peace now.
No procrastinating, like you and your funding.
That's right. Don't hesitate. Start get your PayPal going.
So, do you guys have specific responsibilities when you're on the scene at the summit, or do you have plenty of time that you can improvise and do as you wish, or what? Because we want to recruit you to work with the veterans.
We'll most likely be working with some of the speakers and different people will be coming to sort of take care of things for them and prepare for that. In the meantime, I'm not sure what else we will be doing, but there's certain projects that they're working on too. So there'll be some time for us to take part in that.
Right. Stephen, by the way, is the media guru for the organization.
Okay. So,
yeah, I'm going to be part of a team over there in Korea. We'll be working a lot with different medias and press will be there, and different journalists too, and maybe I can hang out with Rose when she's there.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
And I'm pretty sure she'll be there.
Yes.
Yeah, make sure she doesn't drink too heavily. What are the rules there?
Yeah, you guys don't stress me out.
Oh, no. We won't.
I'm just kidding.
I was saying it as a joke, but seriously, what can you tell me about Korean culture there now? So we're talking about South Korea, of course.
Mm-hmm. Like in terms of?
Well, compared to the U.S. of A.
Okay, well, it's very different there.
You seem a little nervous about that question.
What I heard
don't worry, you won't get into trouble.
In Korea, Korean culture, here in the States, where it's so easy to talk to someone and do like a eye contact, but for them, they actually don't like eye contact that much, and they're very reserved kind of people.
Right.
They're very high in their etiquette. Right. So even when they greet each other, it's, you know, they bow, and it shows a lot of respect and humility. Mm-hmm. And they're
either
pretty
that, or they're looking at cleavage.
And they're pretty soft-spoken for the most part. Mm-hmm. But Korean culture is pretty rich because it's, I don't know if you, you guys have traveled there before, but they do have a rich history because, you know, they're smack dab in the middle of, you know, Japan and China. So they kind of mm-hmm. share both culture. And also Korea is, it's called a homogeneous society where they really hold on to their identity.
Mm-hmm.
It's just this recent couple of decades that they've actually opened their doors mm-hmm. to a lot of international foreigners to live there and do business there. But before, it's really frowned upon because actually there's a person that I want to invite to the summit too, and she's actually a part of the parliament. She's Filipino. I mean, she's Filipino descent. But it's the first time ever in the Korean history where there's a non-Korean person in their parliament. So her platform anyway is to create an immigration agency where it will really create, you know, really open the doors of Korea to pretty much the whole world.
Right. And what about, are women treated as equals to men, or is Rose going to have to hide in her hotel room the whole time?
Before, maybe back in the days.
President is a woman currently.
Yeah,
so.
Currently.
Oh, there you go, Rose.
Oh, okay, that makes you feel a lot better.
Okay. Korean women are very, you know, energetic, and they're really hard workers too. So they're all, you know, they're seen as mm-hmm. equals now. It's men right. over there.
So what does Rose need to know? I mean, what kind? Do you need to know anything about food or anything? Do they have mostly Asian food, or do they have, or is it like here in LA where there's food from all over the world?
I have a good friend who was living there. He was actually an ex-roommate, very, very good friend.
Right.
And he went to USC for liberal arts, so he's into education and teaching. He wanted to teach abroad, and the next thing we know, he's got a job over there in Korea, and just awesome. And he's been back and forth since telling us about it.
Right.
And he introduced me to something, a food called, now I know I'm going to butcher this, Dak Galbi.
He's from the Philippines. What does he know?
Okay, I don't know. That was a Korean, like one of their
What's
main.
What's it like?
Oh, it was delicious.
Was it like meat?
It was kind of like a Benihana place where they prepare it, but it was mini version
mini
of
version.
That. Because they prepare it right there at your table.
Right.
And
well, you know, I live in Koreatown now. So I may be the biggest expert right now.
Yes, actually,
I like Koreatown. I like their food. But I have traveled and I hope that it's everything that it is here, because sometimes when you travel, it's quite different.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you have a great time going there. I mean, there's like several places that you can really explore, and even myself, if I have the time over there, I want to explore, because there's like different really historical places where mm-hmm. even really old temples and old palaces. You know, they were actually destroyed, but now they're restored. So it's just a good place to know more about the history of Korea. Mm-hmm. And also there is a war memorial park there, where it has all the, you know, U.S. and Korean like old like airplanes and helicopters that were used during mm-hmm. the Korean War.
Mm.
So that'd be a good place for you probably to go and take pictures.
A lot of pictures.
Yeah,
yes.
And there's also in Korea the DMZ is called, which stands for Demilitarization Zone.
Okay.
Which is actually the most militarized location in the world.
Yeah.
But it's basically on the border of North and South Korea.
I'll step very, very carefully off. Drop back a few feet, let me tell you.
Don't worry, these are peacemakers.
I know. Okay.
They have a track record.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how many people will be attending the summit?
It's hard to say exactly, since we're sure there will be also many people coming in from the local community who will be attending the event also.
Mm-hmm.
But internationally, there's in the thousands. I know from LA alone, there's how many around around 300 to 400 people are coming.
Wow, that's a lot.
And this is for spiritual leaders?
It's a mix of like nonprofit.
They're political leaders too, several former presidents.
Oh my goodness.
There's going to be a lot coming from Europe.
I can't know how much I really want to be a part of this.
Don't forget to bring the battery for your camera. You don't want to miss anything.
That's right.
Maybe bring an extra battery.
And myself. No, I can't.
It's going to be a really exciting event. And I wish Jeff could be there too.
Well, somebody's going to have to watch Koreatown while you guys are away.
Right.
I don't know if all those people from LA are coming.
No. Yes.
I've got very important things to do here. I can't think of anything offhand, but I'm sure there's some reason I have to stay.
To
host this show. To host the show. That's, okay, that's it. Right.
That's one of the top things that you need to do.
Do you know, this kind of is part of Korea culture. There was... I guess fashion called Bo-Ram culture.
Not that I'm aware of.
That person was really good friends with my good friend over there, and they created a design and I saw all his pictures every time he posted something new, and they had a lot of fun together. She passed away. But that was it was evidently very popular over there.
Korean pop culture is everywhere these days. And even in Latin America, you'd be surprised that they know about K-pop down there.
Gangnam Style.
K-pop. Yeah, my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting bigger and bigger here, that's for sure.
For sure.
So is the are there still openings if people want to register to attend the conference, or is registration closed?
It's still open, I believe.
Yeah, it's still open.
Okay. Is there a website that you want to give out for information?
Yeah, if you want to register... It is,
Warp Summit.
Yeah, Warp Summit 2014.
Warp, W-A-R-P?
Yeah, Summit. World Alliance of Religions for Peace.
Okay, Warp Summit.
2014.
2014.org.
Very
good.
Mm-hmm. If you think warp isn't quite the right word, if you drop the P, it's even worse.
Yes.
It's the World Alliance of Religions. And
we have our choice. Warp. Oh, boy.
Warp.
They sat around a conference room deciding what to do about that. They decided warp is not as bad as warp.
You know, you were saying the culture is very polite and everything. I do remember, I believe he was a Korean man from Korea when I went to London.
Right.
And here I am, you know, and all of us kind of flew in separately. And I was making my way to where we were staying, my friend's flat. And... out of nowhere, there's this man walking by me. Oh, I help. You know, and he took my luggage and he carried heavy bags and everything for me. He was just an angel. I turned around and there he was. And I'm pretty sure he was Korean and just like what you were describing. It was a good example.
We call that bellhop, sir.
Yeah. I didn't have to tip him.
The definition of an angel is a bellhop who doesn't take tips.
Yeah.
They don't actually take tips there either. So if you go to a restaurant, you don't have to tip.
Yeah, really? I would like to experience that.
Awesome.
Yeah. You don't have to worry about calculating, you know, how much tip I should give.
It's exciting too, because I hope that the younger generation is always my heart, you know, passing what are we preparing for the next generation?
Right.
And I hope that a lot of good things will come for them through this summit.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are too.
Well, they have a special youth division that has, 50 chapters, you said?
Right.
So that's quite an emphasis on the
Over 100 youth organizations.
Yay.
And different, over 70 in over 70 countries around the world. Yeah, so they have a really big chapter, and they have branches everywhere.
Oh, that's great.
And I'm really hoping that it grow really big in the Philippines, and it's catching up there. So, yeah.
All right, well, you feisty peaceniks are really doing it. It's very impressive, and I hope that we can continue this conversation even after your trip, because then you can report how it went. Even while you're there, because, you know, this is... they have this thing called the World Wide Web and digital technology. Mm-hmm. So if you guys want to send us some images, some sounds,
definitely,
some information about what's happening,
yes,
we'd love to.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's why I'm staying. I need to receive this information and disseminate it here on the mainland.
Yeah.
Right. Anything else that anybody wants to say? Any demands anybody wants to make before we sign off?
Are we allowed to give like a shout out?
Of course.
Okay. I say it every week and I'm not going to stop because everybody has to check out my friend's website. She's an actress and it's really worth your time to look at her website. It's Penelope Sudrow, SUDROW.com. Check it out. You can buy pictures. You can. It's a really cool website. She was in Nightmare on Elm Street 3. Oh. She was born into the industry. Her parents pioneered it. Her father was the star of the Guiding Light series, if you remember that. She danced. She was born into all of it. And she danced with like Gene Kelly and Fred Astaire at a very young age. And Hollywood. She was on stage with a dance team at the Hollywood Bowl like by age 5. So she wants to start her own nonprofit for emotional abuse. Mm. And she has had her own roller coaster, let me tell you. She's no stranger to what the world can dish out and how cold it can be. So please check out her website because it's worth it.
While we're talking about very personal things, did you have that dinner that you were talking about over the weekend that you were nice enough to invite me to?
Oh,
did
yes.
that happen?
Hey, it was so fun.
Who
Only
showed up?
One person.
Who?
Somebody that wasn't even invited.
Oh, nobody I know.
No.
And it was pasta, no. I think.
Yes.
I love pasta.
I just decided at the last minute, I ran it by my roommate. I said, hey, why don't we invite a few people over just to keep it totally simple, you know, if they want to bring their own drinks or whatever. Just
you allow drinking at this thing?
No.
Now you tell me.
No. Oh, iced tea. Tea Java
now
from Trader Joe's.
Do you still want to hang out with her in Korea now that you know what a troublemaker
she is? $1.49.
Oh, all right.
No, we did pasta, we did salad, and I was at Trader Joe's getting the iced tea. It's Tea Java.
Ah, Trader Joe's.
Yes,
who doesn't like Trader Joe's?
And so I bumped into him, and he was standing there, and I'm like, oh my goodness, it's James the Hat. He's part of our mental advocacy group that I'm with. And he was there, and I said, hey, come on over. So he did. And that's
a mental advocacy group.
Yes.
I'm not sure.
Mental health. You don't understand.
Okay.
Mental health advocacy group. I've learned a lot about schizophrenia. I'm like the only one that isn't diagnosed. And they knew that I really cared about them because I work with those who are autistic. And I did, and that led into disabilities in general. And then one of my clients had / mental health, mental illness, and that was his support group. And it just, boom, kind of went full circle from there. So.
Well, good for you. Talking about angels.
We had a great
time. I think we may have an angel in our midst.
Why weren't you there?
I was so tired and overworked.
Brother.
And I had
pasta to pick you up.
I'm
a runner.
There was a big event at the Vortex.
Store up your energy.
You don't want to hear it all. Now, what about you guys? Anything else that you want to mention? Say hello to anybody? Any vendettas? Any hits that you want to?
I just want to shout out for Buddy, I guess. And really looking forward for him to, being there at the summit. And hopefully he'll be in his 100% condition.
Yeah, he's a very valuable player, possibly the most valuable player. And I certainly wish him all the best as well.
Yes, and my prayers are with you, Buddy, tonight.
I'm back soon, buddy.
Yes, we love you.
Anything that you want to close with, Greg?
Please, if you would like, come to the summit, stow away in Buddy's suitcase or any other way that you find possible.
Okay, and the website again is what?
HWPL Summit. No, Warp Summit at warpsummit2014.org.
Warp Summit
2014.org.
Or you could go to hwpl.kr.
Okay, and the website for our show is occupyskidrow.us, and we'll be linking to Rose funding project, or whatever the word is. Pitch? Request?
GoFundMe.com.
Right.
And you just have to punch in my name, Rose, R-O-S-E, Hugh, like the first name, H-U-G-H.
Okay, that's actually more direct and more immediate. So anyway, we've given folks options on how they can help us. I want to thank all of you for joining us tonight, and thanks to the delicious Jenny and her lovely boyfriend, Andy. and everybody at Skid Row Studios. And let's wish Buddy a speedy recovery. This is Occupy Skid Row, and my name is Jeff Norman. Thank you so much. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good
listening to OccupySkidRow.us with Chaplain Willis Buddy Clark Jr., a weekly VeteransNewsNet.us feature presented every Tuesday evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time, live at SkidRowStudios.com. For more information and all of our past episodes, please go to OccupySkidRow.us. Thank you for joining us.
Studios and anywhere.